watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. We invite you to join our discussion now. Call us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Thank you, Lydia Clark. That's my daughter singing It's a Brand New Day. You can buy that record on PayPal and enough. That's my commercial, okay? Let's begin by just each person introduce themselves, just say your name, go around the table, beginning with Scotty.
Hi, I'm Scott Brewer, founder of PeaceNow.com.
This is Aaron Valencia, founder of Lost Angels Children's Project.
Jeff Norman, founder of the Veterans Project.
Michael Castaneda, director of Operation Help the Homeless.
Rose Hugh, affiliate director of Veterans RS News Net, and also photographer in news.
Wynn Walter, with LostAngels.com, Lost Angels Children's Project.
Isaac Pierce, founder of Operation Help the Homeless.
Thank you, Isaac. I enjoyed your event 2 Saturdays ago.
Yes.
And I'm still hungry.
There you go.
You fed over, what, 2,000 people?
1,700 people in the streets, including 4 SRO housing building tenants, so about an extra 200 people, almost about 1,900.
A lot of people, a lot of clothes, a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And people, some people actually cried because they enjoyed what you did for them so much.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Every time we do an event, we always get different outcomes. But the majority of the time, it's always a blessing to the people that we help. And it's because what we focus on is not what you give. It's how you give and how you make people feel when you help them. That's what's important.
Okay, well, let's go to me right now to Aaron and talk a little bit about your event coming up, okay?
What we're doing, we started Lost Angels Children's Project, and it's just where we're building a Model A roaster, building the hot rod, and we're raffling it off, raising money for the 2 homeless shelters that we work with, Grace Resource Center in Lancaster, California, and Union Rescue Mission of downtown LA, Skid Row. And all proceeds are being designated to the children's side of both of these shelters. So everything is going to benefit the children with tutor programs, field trips, give them a better start.
Okay, and Michael, is it Castaneda? How do
yes.
you pronounce your last
Castaneda.
Name?
Castaneda, yeah.
Oh, well, mi español es muy malo.
Me too. Yo también.
Yo, yo. Okay, that's about all I know. You know, so, Scotty, let's talk just a little bit about what you're doing with Peace Now.
Well, I am doing lots of things with Peace Now, and you are too. We're getting 1 billion signatures on a petition to support the creation of peace departments in every government in the world. We have signatures from 73 countries. We're also very active right now in getting Los Angeles to sign a proclamation to become an international city of peace. And just a few minutes ago, I received an email from one of the council members saying that we can count on Councilmember Gregorian's support. So we're making progress there, and we're hoping
Okay, let's go down and talk with Wynn. Wynn, let's talk with you and what you're doing, okay?
Well, I'm helping Aaron with Lost Angels and trying to get donations, get the word out there. About this nonprofit to help children.
Rose, you're on.
I'm on? Okay. Well, I attended a closed hearing today, public hearing, for a decision to be made on whether or not the sheriff's department should have a commission board for accountability. And it was very interesting to hear the testimonies of people who have had interaction with the police and sheriffs, much of which was not positive, but I was able to mention your show to the Board of Supervisors, basically giving an opportunity for all voices to be heard, both police, sheriff, and those who have had interaction with them, positive or negative. So I let them know that this might be a good foundation for everybody to talk, and through that, maybe solutions to come. So that was my day, and I also covered a National Night Out before I came here.
That's the thing with the police, in case you're interested.
No, it was great to see communities come together, just mm-hmm. get together a little bit, break your communities up into smaller sections, have a national night out.
You were with Isaac and so forth. And so let's talk a little bit about Isaac, about your program, okay, about feeding people.
We started this in 2010. Basically, the fact is that God put it in my heart one day to help those in need and to do it as best as I can and just to make it as big as possible. We start off with making 100 homeless kits, and when I say homeless kits, these kits consist of all the essentials that none of us should go without on a daily basis, from your hygiene pack, simply bottles of water, underwear, 2 pairs of socks, a t-shirt, chips, juices, breakfast, sack lunch, and we made 100 kits, actually 130 kits, me and Mike in the backyard of my mom's house on a Friday night, and I wanted to specifically aim towards the people that are sleeping storefront in the wee hours in the morning on the very next morning on Saturday morning. So we went out to Skid Row, and in about 10 minutes we ran out, and we had tons of people running from blocks away because they heard about what we were giving, including blankets, and the feeling of seeing their faces let down even more, just crushing their hopes, really bothered me personally. And I personally made it my goal that I don't want to feel that anymore. So since 2010, we've provided to over 9,200 homeless people already in LA County. We've had anywhere from between 400 and 500 supporters, volunteers come out to our events. We do our summer drive, which is the one that you just joined us with. That was our 4th annual Skid Row summer drive. And the goal for that one was 1,700, and we exceeded that. And in doing so, let me just mention, we actually fed and provided to 100 low-income families in Boyle Heights at the same time, because our events are 2-day events. They're the assembling. The volunteers come out on a Friday night, and we assemble all the kids, and I make it something rewarding for the volunteer as well, because it's not just the person that we're trying to help now, and I see that through our past and what we've done through it's getting the people to tug on their hearts, that learning the act of giving, how important it is and how infectious it can be, but freeing your heart and freeing your self-preservation of just being me about myself, and I can't do this financially. You have to step out by faith, and if this world is going to change, we need to be accountable and helping each other, and I need to make sure that it's rewarding for the volunteers also, that they get the most ultimate experience and they walk away with. So Friday nights, we assemble the kits. Saturday nights, we go out. We go out to Skid Row. The summer drive is at Gladys Park. Mm-hmm. When we do the winter drive, it's a little bit different. We do it old school. We go head on into towards like San Julian on the streets on 5th Street, and we'll get bum rushed and we'll get bombarded. And we have a system basically, and we basically lead into 5th Street with all the motorcycles, with all the Harley Davidson riders. I'm pretty sure you guys saw them last time. I call them the trumpets that waken the angels, because that's what they are to me. And everybody down there, when they hear the motorcycles, they know the help's on the way.
They hear the roar, yeah.
They know the help's on the way, exactly. So they get excited, but they all fall in line. And I make sure that it's on a one-on-one basis, that we shake their hands, that we welcome them, that we give them that ultimate red carpet experience as much as possible, and we make sure that we make them feel like their family, because that's how real it is, and that's what we've seen, and situations and things that have happened in the past have confirmed that.
I was able to experience that with the group and so forth, and the little boy dancing. I have all that on video that I'll give you sometime. But actually, we were there.
Right.
We weren't just there passing out food to some people.
Right.
We weren't passing out food. We were passing out love.
Right.
And the people responded so beautifully. And this one lady, I thought I was going to cry, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't cry easily. But anyway, so you were talking about and the veterans now.
Right.
How many veterans do you think are on Skid Row?
Many.
Many. Many. That's a good answer. That's many. A good answer. Very good answer.
Well, I mean, I can't put a number on. I can tell you that, like, the numbers in towards of Skid Row homelessness, I know the numbers were released today as far as the women in the ages of 51 to 60 have really increased tremendously in Skid Row. But as far as veterans goes, they're out there. You know, they're out there. And it's something that really needs to be turned focus on, you know, and something more specific, I think.
We have a Skid Row in Venice, and so last Monday, mm-hmm. I had a meeting with the Foursquare minister, and we had a meeting with his board of directors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But on the way to the meeting, all of a sudden, this family in Venice, at the worst street in Venice, which we call Skid Row there, it's right next to Google, mm-hmm. they had two little kids. Not 3 years old each, two little girls on the street. And we knew, quote unquote, if the cops came by and found them,
right.
they would take the children. And sometimes that's not the greatest thing to do.
Right.
So we immediately took care of them and gave them some things. And then we lost them. So we had to go find them. And then we found them. And then, so Sunday night, I wanted to make sure they were still there. Now, most people don't go down Skid Row at night, especially if you're a white boy like me, okay? But
unless you're looking for something.
Yeah, right. Trouble. So I put on my Marine Corps hat, which is maybe that'll get some authority. So I walk down there, and no problem, because a lot of people know me down there. So the two guys are there, and I said, look, I'm looking for Rebecca. They said, we don't know Rebecca. I said, I'm looking for two little girls. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, yes, we know where she's at. They're inside that little tent. The little tent was like a little Eskimo dome.
Right.
And they were both in there. So I said, now you guys, don't go away. Stay here because tomorrow morning, we're going to take you and make sure that your children get taken care of. Mm-hmm. And so they did. But what I wanted to tell you, this minister had been working on Skid Row for 8 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a doer. He doesn't wait. He doesn't say, but we'll send you to an agency in the morning. We'll get to you. We'll pray for you. And that's the end of it.
Right.
He does it. He does it right now. And that's what I admire about him. And he'll be helping us all over again. So
that's good.
That's the kind of thing I like to see. You don't wait. You just go and do.
Yeah, that's, you know what, like I said, what we give is just the tip of the iceberg of it. Mm-hmm. My heart is to help people wherever they need is the greatest. And, this is not easy when it comes to really, really helping people out and not hurting them or not just throwing them into, like you just mentioned, the system. Yeah. It's really important, especially with people that have kids. And there's a lot of them in Skid Row. You might not see it outright, but you know what? They're out there. But you know what? They're also precautious about their children, too.
Yes, they are.
In 2012, when we did our summer drive, we were passing out kids. Actually, I'm sorry. We did our winter drive. This lady came up, and my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter, was passing the bags out personally to them. And this lady came up with her two kids, two young girls, and she didn't want kids. She asked for prayer. Hmm. And they had just been there like less than a week, but they were out on the streets. And I never thought that I would see that also. And, you know, it broke my daughter's heart. But my daughter, you know, and she turned around and she says, I just feel so blessed. And she was crying. She says, I never thought that I would see that, and it breaks my heart. But those are the things, though. That's why a lot of people now, a lot of volunteers, they ask, can we bring our kids out? Because they want their kids to see what life is, you know, and what to be grateful for also. And also, it's a great thing to teach those kids to give back. If you also saw, too, we got kids in the mix helping, you know, and putting in work at a young age. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see and be part of. So I'm blessed for being part of that.
You really, and we're blessed for going down there. And it's amazing. Wynn, let's talk a little bit about your program, okay, and what you're doing.
Well, like I said before, I'm here to help Aaron and Los Angeles Children Project, and whatever I can do to help these children. And, you know, it's just heartbreaking to know that there's kids on Skid Row that just don't have a chance and have no choice in it. And, you know, Aaron came up with this idea, and immediately I wanted to be involved in it. So my part is to help Aaron, you know, do what he needs to get done so we can get this hot rod finished, get it raffled off, and that money could go help these kids. And hopefully, as time goes on, we can raise enough money to have after school programs and have mentor programs, and not only help them immediately, but be able to give them some kind of a future at the same time.
That future is extremely important. Aaron, tell me about your 1931 something or another.
Something or another. What I'm doing is a 1931 Ford, early little hot rod, trying to keep it as traditional as possible. 31 Ford Roadster on a 32 frame with a small block Chevy. A lot of the old parts, and just trying to make something cool that appeals to a lot of people. And just trying to do something cool, something different. I haven't seen this done in the car world yet. So I was like, man, I was trying to figure out how to do something bigger than just a hot meal. I've been working for the soup kitchens for about 2, 3, 4 years now. Started doing it and just got hooked. Just like you were saying, once you get going, it's addictive, you know? Yeah. And just that feeling of giving, that feeling of helping, it's more rewarding than people think.
So you're going from hot meals to hot wheels.
Yes. Someone quoting that? Someone writing that down?
Write that down, don't read. Yeah. I don't want credit for it, but somebody else said it.
So, how do they get a raffle ticket?
We got a website up, and then there's a lot of hot rod shops, barber shops, tattoo shops all around Southern California.
Website?
It's the website is LostAngelsChildrensProject.com. We have a Facebook page, same thing, Los Angeles Children's Project like page, and then there's also an Instagram that's showing the process of the build. You know, it started from the beginning, and it's showing in the paint booth, and it's showing all this stuff, so people can follow the build, and people are starting to get involved.
And if they want to get tickets, how much are they?
Tickets are $20 tickets. Tried to make it the same thing, accessible to everybody, so everybody can get involved. They're not $100 tickets, $200 tickets. They're $20 tickets, and we're trying to raise as much money as possible. My goal is to raise $50,000 to split between the two shelters. I would love to be able to cut a check for $25,000 to Union Rescue Mission and go just to the children's side so they can do field trips. They can do the tutor program, because I guess the tutors are only coming in once every other week. So the kids are in their care. I think they do like a 60-day turnaround or a 90-day turnaround down there. So it's not much help that the kids are actually getting. And what I know is the life that the kids have had before they got into the shelters, 99% of the time is pretty damn rough. Let's make the time there that they're in their care as best as possible.
Well, while we're talking about funding and events, Jeff, tell us about your event.
Well, it's kind of an outgrowth of what we've all been doing together here. I'm really pleased that you and Isaac have joined forces, and I think it lays the groundwork for what we want to do, for what we want to do together. Specifically, we at the Veterans Project have been focusing on homelessness in the veteran population, and we've been doing it for a while. But only over the last few months or so has it really heated up as an issue that's seemingly on everyone's radar. Michelle Obama was recently in town to address a summit on homeless veterans, and Mayor Garcetti has proclaimed that homelessness in the veteran population will be ended completely by the end of 2015. So while all these very lofty goals are being presented, we're ready to just step
that
in.
Sounds good, right?
And go, okay,
sounds
right.
Well, speaking of stepping in, Scotty and I will be going to Korea. Mm-hmm. And you know, Scotty will be gone for a few days. I'll be gone the rest of the month. And during that time, you will be running what we call running this show. So take over the show right now and practice, okay?
I thought I just was. And I'm going to spew this propaganda over and over again because this is the time. You know, it's timely. There's a lot of things that are worth doing, but because the stars haven't aligned in such a way that the support isn't there, it's not always doable. So what I was saying is because the big wigs are now focusing on this and making this commitment, we have an opportunity to really step up to the plate and continue the work that we've been doing. So as I was saying, I'm glad that you and Isaac have teamed up, and we're going to build on that. Isaac is totally committed to addressing homelessness in general, and we are addressing homelessness in the veteran population, so there's obvious overlap there. And we have a stand down every year at the Vortex in downtown Los Angeles. This year it's going to be on November 15th. And in the weeks and months leading up to that, we're going to have a series of smaller forums that are dedicated to exchanging ideas amongst all segments of the population, not just the usual suspects. We're going to have architects and artists mixing side by side with city officials. And the next in our series of public forums is next Wednesday, August 13th, at a venue in the downtown arts district called Play. And I love that it's called Play because it really gives us a chance to kind of emphasize where we're coming from. It doesn't have to be all morose. It doesn't have to be the same old, same old. We want some freewheeling creative types to be involved in this problem-solving situation. So I think we're trying to lure. Isaac is hard to commit, but I think he's going to be there, right?
No, I'll be there.
That's
I'll
a yes. There. That's I'll a commitment. And we have also someone. The mayor has a commission, an advisory council on homelessness in the veteran population. So they'll have somebody there, and hopefully from City Councilman Huizar's office. We'll have some architects talking about very creative housing solutions, and we'll have refreshments, even alcoholic beverages. Why not? We're adults, some of us. So if you want more information on that, please go to the webpage we have dedicated to this campaign. It's homefrontrising.org, homefrontrising.org.
Now, you've done a wonderful job of interviewing yourself.
Yes.
Now interview someone else.
Okay. Just pick anybody. All right. Why don't we chat for a moment with my new friend from Los Angeles Project. And what I'm wondering is, Aaron, apart from when you building this car, which is a very innovative thing and it's a great attention grabber, what next for you? Are there other ways that you have of getting attention and funding and accomplishing things?
Well, yeah, definitely. I got long-term goals. I got short-term goals. I mean, this is what I do for a living. I build custom cars. So I was like, what can I do bigger than just doing a Hot Meal? Because that's what I do all the time working at the shelter. So it's like, right. I can combine the two. I can build a car and raffle it off and raise money and give it away. Like, that's it. Definitely, it gets people's attention, gets out there. It's what I can do that's bigger than just a Hot Meal. My goal is to be able to, if this works well this year, is to be able to do this every year. Once a year, do this hot rod giveaway, do a custom car giveaway. And I'm hoping that it raises enough awareness this year, enough people want to get involved, that next year when I'm calling people for sponsorships and for donors and to get involved, I won't get the door slammed in my face like this year. No one really wanted to get on deck. So I'm hoping if it goes well next year, all those same people will be like, yeah, man, no, I heard what you did last year. I'm down. We can do it again. And other builders will get involved. And it spreads. It can come something infectious. More people want to get on board. And then even bigger scale than that is to actually, you know, have like an after school program, have kids come in and be able to learn welding, learn painting, learn auto body, learn this stuff, learn metal art. So it's not just, I'm not trying to create a bunch of car builders out there in the world, but just so people can have some of these kids from rough neighborhoods can have a sense of achievement that they made something. They had a place to go that was cool and creative and non-judging, and I don't care about any of that stuff. You come in, you have a good time, learn some stuff, you never know where they could take it from there.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's, it's to me, it's on a big scale. It's building the car. It's helping kids, definitely, but it's inspiring. That's my big thing. And I think you touched on it. And by the way, I'm like so impressed on what you guys got going on. I love your style of like
just get in and
handle it. Get your hands dirty and let's do something.
Right. Well, maybe you guys should partner.
I'm already two steps ahead of you. Put it this way. I don't know how far you are in as far as into the vehicle and restoring it already.
We're pretty close. We got our deadline. That's like, it's crunch time. That's like even Wynn was calling me to come down for the show. And I was like, for real, dude, I hope it's going to be good because I got stuff to do. I've been at the shop every night till like 11 o'clock. The deadline is August 30th is the giveaway.
Has upholstery already been done?
Upholstery's not done yet. I had the guy come by the shop. Paint's done. Motor's just about done. What do you got on upholstery? What's up, dude? What you got, dog?
You know what? My father does custom upholstery for hot rods, for low riders. He's been doing it for over 25 years.
There you go.
Let's get it on. And
I got the guy that does Pimp My Ride. He'll work with you.
we'll see about next year, bro. I don't know. We'll see. Get him on the phone.
I'm thinking we can do something to help you guys out.
No, that'd be amazing. Okay. If you may, we're right at that level. I'm hoping next week. Honestly, that's how everything is falling into place fast right now.
You have I see your heart already, and that's what we read, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what you read is... It comes out of our voices sometimes when you're passionate about something, and I can see that with you, Mike. I can tell already. Mike can see that already. So,
very cool.
I can be more than glad to help you guys out with that.
That'd be cool.
I'll give you. I think my dad's watching tonight. So,
he's a model. Right.
For real,
he's
like, what?
Dad,
yes.
Call
yes.
in.
Yeah, right.
But it's a 30 what?
31 Roadster, 31 Ford Roadster, little Model A Roadster. It's
yes.
Wham bam. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, if you can't get a ticket going into one of the places that we're selling it, you can come down to the Ventura National Hot Rod Show where the car will be raffled off on August 30th of this, you know.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
And that's it. It's a big venue of car enthusiasts bringing their cars, motorcycles down. It's all about the car culture, and that's where you can, purchase your ticket and have a good time, and hopefully you can win a hot rod at the same time that will go to help these kids.
Amen. And the last week of this month at Boyle Heights City Hall, we'll be having our first annual Kids for Hope Day, which is just a day of giving back to children in hardship. This is something with LAPD, Hollenbeck Division, YMCA, and a couple other organizations, really being specific and bringing in those children of hardship that have really gone through it. Kind of like a carnival atmosphere, but without the rides. Mm-hmm. But it's just a day of giving back to them, you know? And this is something new that we're starting. But we're looking at about 120 kids also, too. So we haven't locked down the date, but I know it's one of the weekdays of the last week of this month. So that's something new that we'll be doing as well.
Well, that's what's up, man. That's what's happening. Giving kids something that are already been through the struggle, something cool to remember, a positive time.
Absolutely. Like just
So, Isaac, why don't you give your website address so that when you have that information finalized, people can find out?
And give it to Mike.
All right, so the website is OHTHforHope.org. OHTHforHope.org.
And the four is the number four?
Four, yeah.
All right. Hopefully people will remember that.
That's my brother Mike right there. That's my right hand. He's my brother of compassion. I got to tell you something.
He's your real brother.
He
ain't heavy.
We've known each other since kindergarten. Since kindergarten.
Yeah, since about 6 years old, we've been best friends, and you know we've all gone through our things, and that's why we have such appreciation to help those in need, because you know it's not easy growing up in LA or in this area, and just to have a heart to help others really changes your whole life just by seeing the effect you have on people. And when you have, like Isaac said about having children help us out, and kids and volunteers bringing their kids along to be a part of the events. We've gotten so many phone calls and people, parents crying to us saying thank you for showing our kids the real, you know, the things that are out there. And even as families go home, their kids want to be effective and they want to help others on their own doing outside of what we're doing. So it just really grows, and
it's infectious. It's a good thing.
Kindness breeds kindness.
Yeah. What a love fest we have going here. Well, I also want to jump in with an offer to come down to the Vortex sometime, which is where the Veterans Project is based. It's a multi-purpose community center. It has a capacity of 400 people, and it has a garage door that opens up. So one of these cars that you rebuild, you can easily drive right in.
Let's do it.
And actually, that's where I met Isaac and why we're all here together. So this is the idea. It is happening. It's not just a concept in our minds. So it's great to see it happening. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll return for the home stretch.
And or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly Veterans News Net.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. We invite you to join our discussion now. Call us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
We're back, and Buddy was just toweling down because it's a little bit hot in here, but you look fresh and perky now, Buddy.
Well, you should be on the inside. Okay, Scotty, let's talk about what we're going to do with a whole lot of people.
Well, before I do that, I am so humbled by the work that our other guests are doing with children and homelessness and feeding. And this evening, I brought a book with me, and sometimes I just open up a book to see what the universe offers. And I think this message of love was supposed to be here because of these guests. The cosmic realm is filled through and through with love, and to enter into this realm is to love every living creature with all the power of heart and soul. When you are in the cosmic state, you are in the universal. All life is divine to you. All life is beautiful. All life is precious. All life is sacred. Your sympathy is as large as the universe and as touching as the innermost tenderness of the soul. To love everybody, no matter what they are or what they have done, is a part of your own life.
Is that from Michael Beckwith?
No, this is one of my favorite authors, Christian D. Larson. He died in 1914. Mm-hmm. This book, The Optimist Creed, and The Optimist was based off of his writings in the early 1900s. And there's five books in here, and I just open them up periodically, and the message is so pure and so directly divine that no matter where I open it up, it seems like it's exactly what I'm supposed to find for that occasion. So we have, Jeff, you mentioned what a love fest.
Yeah, right.
And for me to open this up to that, it's a blessing to be here.
I'm here to provide you with golden segues, Scotty.
Okay, stand by for a segue. Here we go. This is actually here. Our segue. Okay, so you're on, okay? You're your segue.
Oh, I'm a segue.
Talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, we're speaking French now. Our first French word is segue. Piste de resistance is coming soon.
Okay. All righty. Well, this past weekend, Saturday, Bobby Buck asked me to participate in taking pictures. He liked some of my photography. And on Skid Row in the Gladys Park, and a lady by the name of Shari she has Char On Foundation, and what she did is she put together a talent show for the people there on Skid Row, and I'm telling you, they've got some fabulous, outstanding talent that really needs to be seen. One was an impersonator of Spielberg. I had people asking me, because I was close enough to, is that real? Is that real? Is that really
I
him?
I saw a picture of him. And it almost passed as Spielberg.
I had to ask Bobby. I said, that's not really. He said, no. And so that's how good this guy was. Impersonate voice, body language, looks, everything. And another one sang the song, Neither One of Us Wants to Be the First to Say Goodbye. Two different girls sang that song, and they did an outstanding job. Another, it was a girl, and she did a Michael Jackson impersonation.
I wonder, perhaps next week, we'd like to show some footage of that and videos and pictures.
Sure.
So yeah. You can kind of
I'll contact Bobby, and we'll put together something. Incidentally, Shari has herself just the most amazing story. Her husband used to tour with Seals and Crofts. He passed away. She became homeless. She felt like the bottom just fell out, word for word. That's what she said. Until a lady there saw her for her and saw her potential and what she could do. And she has been down there on Skid Row helping ever since. She has her own. She is an author, speaker, life coach, consulting, training, and she has workshops and seminars. And if you'd like more information about what she does, she can be reached at www.shari.righter.com.
Scotty, could you tell us a little more about this World Peace Conference we're going to?
Yes, I can. It is in Seoul, Korea. It's from the 17th to the 19th of September. It is a gathering of all religions from around the world. And their speaker list is not only the religious, but a potpourri of presidents and past presidents from countries that believe that there's something government can do besides engage in conflict. So this is a peace conference par excellence, and it's being held in a country that's been divided for years and years since the Korean War. And those people still would love to have a united country. And a united vision of peace is within the Korean people's heart. And I think it's a blessing that I'll be speaking at that about our efforts to get 1 billion people to grassroots peace. And I think it's a blessing that you're coming, my friend.
Oh, what a blessing. Because, see, I fly military for free all over the world. But sometimes we get stuck. I got stuck in Guam one time. The next time I get stuck will be in Newfoundland, way up in Canada with the Chinooks and all those kind of things. So I don't want to be stuck. But once I get there, I can take in a military plane home and take my time coming home. But I have to be back for the Albuquerque Hot Air Balloon Fiesta. So we want to go to that and probably, hopefully, showcase world peace there, because it's the most photographed event in the world. Absolutely. If you ever get a chance, go there. It's always the first week, 10 days in October. So if you get a chance, go to that. Now, let's get back to it. Now, here's where we're at, gang. Anybody can talk about anything they want to. So, and you can interrupt, you can just have a good time, and but don't take your clothes off, okay? All right?
So, hey buddy, next? Let me do a shout-out, okay. Because yeah. What I want to recognize goes right in with what these gentlemen are doing. Mama Hill, Mama Hill's Help, her actual name is Melissa Hill. She was a teacher in Los Angeles schools for 30 years, and by the time she retired, she thought, based on her estimate, that she had lost 2,000 students either to drugs, gang violence, or just dropouts. And when she retired, she opened up her home, and now kids come in there, and she tutors them. They learn computer skills. She loves them. And she's having her annual fundraiser September 27th, Celebrate the Children, a back-to-school event. They're going to close off the streets. It's at 755 East 92nd Street. If you want to help Mama, they're going to be having food. They're going to be having crafts are going to be having bouncy things, and it's a $10 donation for adults and $5 for children. And you can go to mamahillshelp.org for tickets.
And somebody tell me what a bouncy thing is.
It's one of these, baby.
In case you're still on the radio, we had one of the biggest bouncers here you've ever seen, okay? He's really good at it, okay? So, brief roll.
What happens at the barber shop, Wayne?
You want to talk about the barber shop?
Oh, more than anything. May I be bold enough to suggest the microphone pointing that way? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I mean, it's very nice of you to support Aaron's nonprofit.
Yes.
But here you are. You're mm-hmm. you're hanging out with us.
Yes.
So just like as if it were a party and whatnot, you know, we want to know about you, too. So what's going on, Winster?
Winston. Mm-hmm. I haven't been called that for a while.
Winston?
Well, the manager of Angelo's Barbershop right down the street over on Olive, and we just opened up 6 weeks ago. But actually, that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Los Angeles Children's Project.
Yes, you know, did.
That's why we're here, and that's what my focus is to do anything and everything that I can to bring awareness to the children.
All right, I'm going to have to declare you a hostile witness then if you're going to talk about the subject.
If I could jump on something real quick, and for me the big thing is, and you started talking about it too, with bringing volunteers in, bringing people in, people just get stoked on, they can't help it but come back. And the thing for me that I keep going back to with this whole thing is inspiring people. That's just it. It's making a car, it's making something, it's making some food, it's putting some food in people's belly, it's getting a smile, a hug, whatever. But it's inspiring other people to do something on their own. So they come back on their own free will because what happened, they were stoked. And it was like when I was talking with Wynn when I first kicking this around, and I broke it all down step by step of what was going on. And he was like, I'm in. And he's taking this and run in a whole nether level of shit I didn't even think about. So it's like, it's already working. You know, Wynn was already inspired to do what he's going to do. And it's just, it's weird because I didn't see it for a while until it all clicked. You know, other people I thought were just helping, and they just take it and run with it on their whole other trip. There's this girl, Tiffany. I haven't even met this woman in person yet, but we talked over the phone. She was just hype on the whole thing. Yeah, I'm in, I'm down, like whatever. She took it on her own accord, got some tickets, and put a thing up on Facebook like, hey, everybody, I got tickets. We're riding around. I'm delivering tickets. What's up? Who needs them? And people started getting back to her. It was her and her old man on a motorcycle mobbing through the valley. And she's on the back of a bike checking her Facebook status on her phone like, okay, cool, babe, turn here. And they're jamming down some street on Roscoe selling tickets. Like, it was just like, to me, that's what keeps me going in the garage until 11:30 at night, knowing that there's people out there that are inspired by what we got going on and inspired to help other people to get off the couch, get out of their normal comfort routine and do something. Like, that's to me, that's what I live off of. That's what's keeping me rolling on this whole trip, you know?
Exactly, because, you know, it's like this, it's when you think about what we're doing, okay, and what we're doing it for, you know, it's a sad event. You know, there's children that don't have a choice in the matter that are living on the streets. And then when you have people like Tiffany and another friend of mine, Wayne, that just like picked this up and ran with it. That's what keeps a smile on our face, okay? And, you know, brings the heart and soul to it is watching these other people wanting to be involved, and they're doing it effortlessly. They're doing it, you know, because they want to. They're being, living an altruistic way of life, which is the kind of life that I choose to live. You know, and that I have just so much thanks for.
That's awesome. Know? I mean, that's ultimately, I think, what we're trying to do is just raise awareness about child poverty, yeah, but it's also raise awareness about, I mean, shit, man, the human spirit, just to try and give back, to try and be a kinder person instead of getting stuck in this everyday drive of self-greed and just you work your whole life just to take care of yourself and buy a bigger house and buy a faster car and all this. It doesn't really get you nowhere when the man standing next to you is starving. You know, what is that? What is that big house when people are outside starving? You know, we're never going to end homelessness. None of that stuff's ever going to be fixed and gone complete. It's never going to be a bunch of hippies running around the street. It's not going to happen. But if we can all do our part, and if everyone more and more people get on board to do something positive, you never know where it could go.
You're exactly right, and that's one thing that I'll be honest with you. You know, a lot of people, they have their own perceptions about homelessness. You know, just, you know, if you go out of Pasadena, you see people panhandling off the freeways. And, you know, sometimes you get to know if it's a hustle, of course, yes. And then who's really sincere? So we get questions like that a lot. And we get a lot of people that hesitate to actually volunteer or to donate or to do something because there's skepticism. But no matter how we round it or what we do, and you know what, that whole thing of just stepping out by faith and opening your heart and just giving, because, you know, the fact that somebody's out there panhandling when it's raining, it doesn't matter what they're going to use it for.
Yeah, whether it's a hustle or not.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously need it more than you do, you know, but you got to just trust in God and do your part in acting and giving. I just want to point out one thing that one situation that happened last year in our winter drive. We were passing about 700 homeless kids at about 7:30 in the morning. And I saw this lady cut in line. And she says, "Oh my God, Isaac, I can't believe I'm looking at you. How are you?" And I saw her cut in line. I said, you know, she probably heard my name from somebody else. And I said, go to the end of the line. We got enough for you. She says, "You don't remember me, do you?" And she was clearly addicted, sucked up, and she was not doing good. And I said, "No, I don't." She says, "You remember I taught you how to drive?" Oh, wow. And I said, "No, because I really didn't." And she says, "Well, how about this? Remember when your mom threw you out on your ass the night before your 8th grade graduation and you came into my home? I brought you in my home." And when she said that, my world stopped, because I looked for one of my best friends, Denise Reza. I looked for her, who was there at their event, and she was in my truck, and she was with her head down crying. She says, "I'm Denise's mom." Mm-hmm. My friend Denise Reza didn't know where her mom was for about 4 years. She was in that line that morning.
And that's heavy, man.
And so things like this, though, but I'll be honest with you, they happen. Not like that situation, but we get reminded constantly that we're on the right path. So that's why we keep doing what we do.
Yeah, I know.
So, God, you guys are beautiful. You big, ugly. Tan,
I was like, not so much
guys
on the outside as.
Well, I was just briefly thumbing through some quotes on peace, and I came across this one. I really like it. It says, "The more we sweat in peace, the less we bleed in war."
Gosh, I know why it's 100 in here now.
Yeah. You know, I saw one the other day, and I can't believe I never picked up on it. It was, it's where I'm not big on quotes. That's not my deal, you know, that other people do that shit. But I saw one that says, "Be the change that you want to see in the world." And it was by Gandhi.
Right.
And I was like, man, that one, I've probably read it 100 times, didn't pay attention to it, but it was like, it just fit perfect. Be the change you want to see.
Have you seen our Gandhi?
I'm sorry?
Peter and Skid Row, have you seen our Gandhi?
Mm-hmm.
Gerald's Muck did a Gandhi on Skid Row. And it's Gandhi smiling and thin and everything.
Without teeth.
Without teeth.
Without his teeth.
Well, we got just a few more minutes, John, left, guys. So just some quick shout outs, because we're going to wrap this program pretty quick. Okay?
Well, Gandhi also said, "You cannot shake hands with a clenched fist."
Mm. The Beatles said, "All you need is love." I want to give a quick shout out to my directors, Don Matter, a.k.a. Grumpy, to Rick Flores, a.k.a. Moose, Peter Hernandez, Mike Castellano. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart, because putting on events that we do are not easy. They're very hard, especially when they're two-day events. I mean, from the location, the amount of items that we need to come up with and all that, it's very hard work, but it's a blessing. And I just want to thank them, and I want to thank my family, too, and my friends, and all of our supporters, everyone watching this. Hello. Okay, thanks for tuning in. And my brother from another mother, from Whittier, small world.
Yeah.
Couple of more shout-outs. You got to hurry.
I once again want to remind everybody that if you are interested in the raffle You can go to the Ventura Nationals Hot Rod Show on the 30th. Buy a ticket there. You'll be helping a great cause, helping these kids, and get a chance at that beautiful hot rod that Aaron built. I want to thank the people that are promoting the show, Aaron and Holly, because their help has been invaluable. They have just blown this up. They have spread tickets all over the city. And their help has just been amazing. I don't know what we'd do without them. And then, you know, just friends. I mean, nobody has said no. It's amazing.
Okay, the businesses. Well, Winston, if they'll deliver on the motorcycle to me, there's another ticket. Okay?
Well, okay. I'll walk it down to you, buddy.
Okay? Well, that's even better.
All right.
Well, thank all of you for appearing on Occupy Skid Row and Veterans News Net.
And
now, we will see you next week.
All right, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us with Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr., a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. For more information and all of our past episodes, please go to OccupySkidRow.us. Thank you for joining us.